Let's read together John 16, verses 16 through 22. In these verses, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples that it will be only a little while before he leaves them. But then it will be only a little while, and he will see them again. They would experience sorrow when he left them, but that sorrow would be turned to joy when they would see him again. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father?'" They said therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." Let's consider some background notes, first of all. Remember that John 16 is part of the second farewell discourse which our Lord gave in the upper room or on the way to his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. In this part of the discourse, the Lord is reminding his disciples that it is only a little while before he will leave them, and they will not see him. In the first part of verse 16, "A little while, and you will not see me." That phrase, "a little while," has been used in John a number of times in reference to the time before the Lord would go to the cross. In John chapter 7, verses 33 and 34, the Lord said to the authorities that came to take him in the temple area, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." In John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, the Lord said to the crowds gathered in the temple courts, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And then in John chapter 13, verse 33, the Lord said to his disciples, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer." And in John chapter 14, verse 19, again the Lord said to his disciples, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more." And now here again in John 16 and verse 16, the Lord tells his disciples, "A little while, and you will not see me." Now it is only a matter of hours before his arrest and trial and crucifixion. So we understand then what the Lord meant by the first mention of "a little while" in verse 16. But what about the second "a little while"? Verse 16, the end of the verse, "And again a little while, and you will see me." When the Lord said, "Again a little while, and you will see me," was he referring to his resurrection and his post-resurrection appearances? Or was he possibly referring to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come and help believers, including us, to see Jesus more clearly in a spiritual sense? In this connection, it's interesting to note that two different Greek words are used for "see" in verse 16. The first "see" means to see physically, "a little while and you will not see me." That is, see me physically. But the second "see" can be used to see physically or to see spiritually. "And again a little while, and you will see me." This is the word that's used, for example, when the Lord said to Nathanael back in John chapter 1 and verse 51, "Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That is, see in a spiritual sense. Maybe the Lord was referring to Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come to magnify Christ before our spiritual eyes. On the other hand, maybe the Lord was referring to his second coming, when we will see him face to face. In this case, the little while refers to the present church age, as we wait expectantly for the return of our Lord, when we will see him. Well, what's the answer here? I think here is a place where we can't be too dogmatic in our interpretation. Good students of the Word down through the years have supported all three interpretations. Some say the second little while of verse 16 is the time between the Lord's death and resurrection. Some say the second little while there in verse 16 is the time between his death and Pentecost. And some say the second little while of verse 16 is between his death and his return. Some have even said the Lord is speaking of two or three of these events lumped together. Notice that the disciples are confused, verses 17 and 18. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying." The Lord knows that they don't understand, and so he says to them in verse 19 and 20, "Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, 'Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy.'" Now that sounds to me like the Lord is referring to his resurrection. Certainly the disciples' sorrow was turned to joy when they realized that the Lord was alive, was resurrected from the dead. And then in the illustration and application that the Lord gives in verses 21 and 22, it again sounds like he is referring to his coming resurrection. Verse 21, "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." Doesn't that sound to you like the Lord is referring to his resurrection? In John chapter 20 and verse 20, after the resurrection, we read, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." So I'm inclined to go with the interpretation favoring the resurrection. That is, the second a little while of verse 16 is the time of sorrow between the Lord's death and resurrection. The Lord's resurrection brought lasting joy to the disciples. Now, while I believe that this is the specific interpretation of the passage, there are certainly principles here that we can apply today, and that's what we'll do for our two doctrinal points or teaching points from this passage. Doctrinal point number one, the world's happiness is only temporary. The world's happiness is only temporary. Verse 20, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." When the world crucified the Son of God, they rejoiced. They thought they had removed the one who had exposed their pride and hypocrisy. The world rejoiced because they thought they could continue to make their own God in their own image. But the world's happiness is short-lived. 3 days later, the Lord returned from the dead to prove that he was right and the world was wrong. The world's happiness is only temporary. You know, right now, the world is rejoicing because it believes that the need for the God of the Bible and his moral standards has been eliminated. After all, they say, the universe came about through time and chance from nothing, and people came about through evolution, so who needs God? The world is rejoicing right now in its freedom from any moral standards and restrictions. But the world's happiness is only temporary. Judgment is coming. The God of the Bible does exist, and the Lord will judge the unbelievers of this world and consign them to hell. The world's happiness is only temporary. Doctrinal point number two, the believer's sorrow is only temporary. The believer's sorrow is only temporary. Verse 20 again. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And verse 22, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take from you. What sorrow must have filled the disciples' hearts when the Lord was crucified, especially since they had forsaken him. But what joy they experienced when the Lord returned to them alive and said, "Peace be with you." Their sorrow was only temporary. What an illustration and example of the biblical principle and truth that the believer's sorrow is only temporary. Are you experiencing sorrow right now? If you're a believer, you can be sure that your sorrow is only temporary. Even if your particular sorrow stays with you for the rest of your life, it is only temporary. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, we read there what it will be like for believers in heaven. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The believer's sorrow is only temporary. And what about practical application from this section of John 16? Don't be upset if you feel confused. Don't be upset if you feel confused. Did you ever feel confused? Now, I don't mean confused about work assignments or reading roadmaps or directions on how to put together some item that you bought in a store. Well, I think we're all confused at times in these kinds of things. But that's not what we're talking about here. We mean here confused about something the Lord has said, something we read in the Bible. Did you ever feel confused there? That was the experience of the disciples. Verse 18, once again. They said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while, we do not know what he is saying. They were confused. I'm sure we would have been confused as well. Now notice that the Lord's answer did not clear up all their questions. Essentially, the Lord said in his answer there, trust me. You may not understand everything now, but trust me. You will have sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Just trust me. The Lord says the same thing to us today. Don't be upset if you feel confused about something in my word. Trust me. You may not understand everything now, but trust me. Things will clear up later. Maybe some things will have to wait to heaven, but trust me. Don't be upset if you feel confused. Illustration. You know, some of my students, after the first day of a course, feel all confused. Everything in the lecture confused them. Assignments seem overwhelming. But I always try to tell them, don't be upset. Trust me. Things will clear up later. Just trust me. Well, if you're feeling confused right now in reference to something in Scripture, don't be upset. Trust the Lord. Everything will clear up later. Don't be upset if you feel confused.